This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I've got a dance, I ain't got no steps. I'm gonna let the music move me around. When I go around and circle.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcorn. We are here till 12. Dr. Rick's going to join us in just a couple of minutes. One bit of business I do want to tell you about Dr. Michael Jones. He's the best eye surgeon in the country. He is with Quantum Vision Centers. He practices on both sides of the river. If you want to get those eyes fixed forever, why not go to the best? We sent our chef there. We sent Tripp Straub. Alex has been there. I've been there. He just makes it easy. 866-260-EYES. Get rid of the contacts. Get rid of the glasses forever. Tell them I sent you Dr. Michael Jones, 866-260-EYES.
Frank, you had the guy who has done the podcasting on Steve McNair and his tragic death. How has that not been? Did I miss it? Has there been a 30 for 30
there
on McNair?
Not.
How has there not been? As weird as that whole death was. And that's another guy, people make fun of Jeff Fisher, but he could sit in the room and tell stories about a million things, played for Mike Ditka and coached under Buddy Ryan, but he had McNair and that whole tragedy as it unfolded in Nashville.
Well, I think the reason it hasn't been because it hasn't been mainstream about there being some debate on this thing. I mean, this is the first guy that's come out and said, wait a minute.
Because it was just considered a murder-suicide,
yeah.
Right?
I mean, probably in its own merit, MVP, murder-suicide, probably is a 30 for 30. But now that this thing is out, I think it would be an unbelievable show. But how about this guy's social habits, Steve McNair?
So he had a separate condo for his extramarital affairs, basically.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the undoing.
Yeah, and the mistress is upset because he's having an affair on the mistress. And oh, by the way, the wife and kids are at his own house. Unbelievable. All right, let's welcome to the program Dr. Rick Lehman. Dr. Rick, good to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Very good. Before we get to some hotter topics in sports, I have to tell you, I took an oxycodone that was in our medicine cabinet from wisdom teeth being pulled, and I'm telling you, it was the best, like, 3 or 4 hours of my life right afterwards. What's the story? Why is that so great? And how can you not become addicted to that?
No, by the way, Frank took it because he was in pain, not just because he felt like popping a pill.
Yes.
So you know, that's the big rub. And, you know, people say, oh, so-and-so's addicted. But maybe not obviously, but you do feel much better when you take the medication. Now, if you take one a day, you're not going to get addicted, or two a day. People taking... you know, everyone says Rush Limbaugh because he's sort of the well-known guy who got addicted to pain medication, Brett Favre. These guys were taking 30 and 40 a day. So I think you have to put all this in perspective. But there's no question that, getting rid of the pain and a little bit of the euphoric effect of these medications does make you feel better. When what you have to do is take them when you're really sore and there's no problem with it. The problem is taking 20, 30 a day and then having a physical addiction. But, you know, for people taking one or two a day, that's enough.
But can the one to two, is it highly addictive where that one to two becomes 5, 6 and then the next day becomes 7 or 8? Is that like a Rush Limbaugh, Brett Favre? Is that how it starts?
Well, what happens is, yes, because you get a buzz. You know, let's say you have a drink and you just feel great. So then you say, well, you know, I want to feel great, so I'm going to have a drink in the morning and a drink at night. And then you say, well, I feel great. I'm going to have a drink every hour. I mean, so what happens is you don't start out saying, this is getting rid of my pain. I'm just going to keep taking it. You know, people who get addicted to the buzz. They just love that feeling of euphoria. And so they take it more frequently because they love that feeling of euphoria. And that's how you get addicted. If you take it just because you're having pain and you know, you're taking one or two a day, you're not going to get addicted. That's not what happens. It's sort of that, you know, I just feel so great, and so I'm going to take it more frequently to get that feeling. And those people have addictive personalities, and they're going to get addicted. You know, the studies have shown people like that are going to get addicted to something.
How much do one of those pills, an oxycodone, cost?
Well, if you buy them from the pharmacy, they're inexpensive. If you buy them on the street, they're $15.
Wow. And then what does it actually do to the body?
it blocks the pain receptors, but it also has, you know, it also has a euphoric effect. So like alcohol, or it's a little bit of a depressant, so it kind of blocks the bad, and it makes you feel better. Now, physically, it doesn't really do anything.
So you know, if I have a really crappy sports cast, I'm going to take one and feel like I just won an Emmy or something?
Yeah, and you might win an Emmy if you take one. So.
It's Frank like you've never seen him before. After the Super Bowl, flip to Channel 5. It's Frank on oxycodone. You've heard his comments on Crocky before. Imagine him on pain meds. And then that would be the excuse. There was the NBC announcer years ago, Charlie Jones, was a great football announcer.
Best.
And he did a Broncos-Raiders, one of those late Sunday NBC games. And he was just saying weird things. And the next day, NBC put out a statement that said, "We apologize, Charlie Jones was on some medication. And he may have taken his pills like right before the broadcast." I wonder what that was. We're going to look that up.
Yeah, ABC did the same thing when Cosell was actually drunk, and they said tried to say the same thing, and it came out that he was actually drunk and not on any type of medication. So, all right,
these are all excuses that are going to come in handy for us when we're sued by the Rams,
or if we're really having a terrible sports cast. You know, I was on oxycodone or something. All right, former Olympic hockey player says radon caused stage 4 lung cancer?
So the hockey part doesn't really have anything to do with the I mean, it does, but it doesn't. But yeah, she got stage 4 lung cancer. So the take-home message is in some environments, some houses that are not well insulated, as radon, which is out there and can, you know, it's kind of like carbon monoxide, can get in the house, it is highly toxic. So generally, if you have a weird smell, if you're noticing some kind of weird taste, anything odd about, you know, the air, and you will feel it, you will know it, you know, you just can't let that go. So usually it's gas. Like most people that get weird smells in their house have a gas leak, and good things generally don't happen then, and you have to be careful. But so after reading the article, I looked at the incidence of radon induced cancer, and it's not low, and it's people that have these leaks, and radon gets into the environment into your home. So again, if you're home and you're noticing anything taste weird, smell weird, and it isn't gas, you got to look for carbon monoxide, you got to look for radon. There's two or three things, and basically just have somebody come test the air and see what the particles are in the air. They tell you in about 2 minutes what's going on.
And Dr. Rick, you mentioned lung cancer. The former Rams linebacker, Chris Draft, has been real outspoken. He's been an advocate for people who get lung cancer but never smoked in their life. And he said it's a really hard cancer to get funding for because there's this stigma, well, you smoked, you got lung cancer. How common is it for people to have lung cancer when they never smoked?
Well, you know, this is a great question because back in the day when we were learning it, it was like everybody who gets lung cancer has smoking-induced lung cancer. And there's actually a high percentage of people that never smoked. Now, some of them had other asbestos, had this or had that, which you get lung disease, something called mesothelioma. But there's also a type of a lung cancer that's prevalent in the East, and those people didn't smoke at all. So the answer to the question is it's not uncommon. It's not unheard of as it used to be thought. And there is a significant number of people that are going to get non-smoking related lung cancer. It's a different kind of lung cancer. So if you're coughing and you know, you're having trouble breathing and you're feeling bad in your chest, don't think, hey, I didn't smoke, I can't get lung cancer. That's not true.
All right. So there's a report out about the number of head injuries and fractures in e-scooter crashes. Elaborate.
So again, this is turning into being a nightmare. And the whole thing kind of got prompted by the story of I was in LA working on actually a book I'm writing. And so somebody was telling me this story. His friend was on an e-scooter. He was a little banged up and he hit his head. And he couldn't get up, so he called his buddy, and his buddy called an Uber. And when the Uber driver got there, the guy was dead, had a head injury, and the guy died. The guy was like 24 years old. So I said, you know, I got to see what's going on here. So I Googled head injuries, and then there was actually an article. And basically, these things are just unbelievably dangerous. Now, you're probably not going to die, but you may hit the curb and break your ankle. You may flip the thing over and hit your head. But the one thing that's pretty interesting is two things that are interesting. One, the incidence of these injuries is very high. So you probably have about an 8 or 10% chance if you get on one of those things, something's going to happen. But the other thing is that when you look at it, there's no liability. So the company basically says, we're not liable. The city that put them out there on every corner says they're not liable. So there's really no liability. I mean, you're basically on your own if you have an injury, and whatever your costs are, you're on your own, et cetera. So these things are kind of dangerous. If you're going to ride one, you know, try to ride it around a while and get used to it. Really understand it. Don't go down a hill. Stay away from curbs. Don't drink. And, you know, wear a helmet. I mean, just please.
How is it that they didn't all see this coming? I mean, it's kind of fun, like in St. Louis, having the scooters around, but wouldn't that be the most obvious thing, is that people are going to be stupid or they're not going to know how to ride it in the first place?
Well, I can't imagine somebody just – I mean, here's the problem. These people aren't stupid, right? So they said, all right, we're going to put them outside of bars, especially in L.A. I mean, they're outside of every bar. So homeboy's going to say, well, I went and I got drunk, and then I'm going to go ride it home because I don't want to get a DWI. So you ride, you get drunk, you get on the scooter, and you ride it home, which, yeah, you didn't drive drunk, but you rode the scooter drunk, and then you ran into a pole. So, yes, I think you're right, Martin. I think it was fairly obvious, but in retrospect, people are stupid. So they didn't see – maybe they saw it coming, they didn't care. Apparently, these guys are making a fortune with these things because they're GPS monitored, so it's 10 cents or 15 cents a mile, and they're just making a lot of money, and they're just dealing with it. But – on a personal level, you just got to make sure you know how to ride the thing.
Homeboy, Dr. Rick, the lingo continues. Did you say you were writing a book?
We're writing a book.
Okay. Any little details you want to put
the
out
title?
There?
My Life with Frank? Or what
Banged
was
Up with Dr. Rick?
Dr. Rictionary?
You're screwed. You're hosed.
It's really kind of a hot, it's very boring. It's a how-to manual for coaches, athletic directors, team trainers, team doctors on state-of-the-art treatment of common injuries. So, you know, how do you get that 21-year-old middle linebacker back to playing at a quick time when he dislocates his shoulder, hamstring injuries, and world-class athletes? So it's kind of a manual. It's got some anecdotal stuff. There's going to be some stuff from Jerome Bettis and some other stuff. But a lot of it's really just, you know, what do you do? How does a state-of-the-art sports medicine guy treat a hamstring injury? Why do we get a guy back in 2 weeks and it takes everybody else 3 months, kind of a thing?
Okay, let's work on the marketing of it, though, because it's very boring. It's not going to push books off the shelf.
This is a must-have for all athletic directors. This is a must-read if you're a weekend warrior. Dr. Rick will get you back out on the playing field in no time.
And he is, you know what, though? He comes as advertised. The first time I ever dealt with Dr. Rick, I think it was like an Alex, like, broken hand in an AAU game. And we went to this one doctor, said, well, he's done for the season. And then we found out about Dr. Rick. We went to him. He says, he'll be back in 2 weeks. And he was back in 2 weeks. Nobody gets athletes back on the court or back on the field or on the golf course quicker than Dr. Rick Lehman.
There's the forward right there.
That's right.
No, that we may ask you for that.
Well, for a price, I'll do it.
Just say those exact same words and then just sign Bob Costas' name, okay?
All right, sir. We appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
Take care.
All right, Dr. Rick Lehman. We'll take a short time out. We're coming right back.